Hi, everybody. Welcome to Core Light's Spiritual Weather Report call for September 2019. And it's great to be here with you. I've been listening. I thought I was talking, but I was on mute there for a little while. Anyway, it was great to hear. I tuned in at the last part as you all calling in and checking in, and it's great to hear your voices and be with you on this call today. What an incredible time we're in. It's really hard to speak about, but I hope that we can do that today. I feel like it's important that we gather in community and talk about what's happening. Just a quick update before we dive into our guided meditation and then, you know, some time for talking and questions and sharing and so forth. Just a quick update. I've been on the road, as I think most of you know. Some of you are new to our calls, but I left home in South Africa in late April, and I've been on a walkabout, you know, traveling around mostly the U.S. I was in England in May leading a sacred site tour, but mostly I've been going city to city in the United States teaching. And this, you know, we've always, Leslie and I have always traveled and taught, but this is different. This is the first time I've done it on my own and never going home in between, all, just moving from city to city. So it's really been a very new and unusual kind of experience for me, and I'm learning so many lessons, and I'm having so much fun. And it's just been so incredibly delightful to see all of you again. It's been many years since we've gathered in the physical. And I know many of you on the call and many of you who will be listening after the call, I won't have seen, because, you know, we're not in the same place, we're not in the same cities. But I can only tell you that it has reminded me how important community is. And, you know, it's wonderful to gather virtually. And it's actually, you know, extraordinary that we have this technology now that we can have a virtual community. But there's nothing that replaces hugging each other, looking each other in the eyes, and saying I love you, and just reconnecting, you know, so close physically that way. So it's really just been incredibly special. I've met so many wonderful new people. I would guess that at our events we probably have about 80% new people, and maybe about 20% longtime Core Lighters, people who've been studying with Leslie and Core Light for quite a few years, some decades. So anyway, I just want to acknowledge that. I thought I would share it with you. And just to give, just real quickly, I don't want to take too much time on it because there's so much to discuss, but I just have to say a couple more things. You know, Leslie for years taught us all about skywalking, what she called skywalking, which is essentially walking on your face. You know, it's taking a leap off a cliff and spreading your arms like a great big old swan dive off a cliff. And really practicing surrendering and trusting and letting go and just knowing that you're going to be held. And even though, you know, you're standing at the edge of the cliff looking down and the bottom of the canyon is miles below and you see certain death, but you know in your heart that you have to jump anyway. And so you do. And it's after you jump that those hands come out to catch you, or the net appears. Jump and the net will appear, as it is. And so I've really, you know, I've known this for many, many years, but I'm opening to it in a whole different way now. And I can only tell you that the extraordinary, volume of divine synchronicities that are unfolding, it's really just blown my mind. And, the invisible hand has been so hard at work, making sure I'm in the right place, the right time, meeting the right people, and giving me the most amazing experiences when I'm not around people. So it's just been absolutely delightful. One example I want to give you is right now I'm calling you from Mono Lake, California. It's on the eastern side of the Sierras near the Nevada border. And it is one of the most beautiful places on earth. It's just extraordinary. I'm here at the home of my friends Ruth and Glenn Garland. They've invited me for a week to be here and be quiet and go inward. I just finished leading events in Reno, Nevada, and this is about 2.5 hours from there. I'm on my way to New Mexico now to lead events in Santa Fe. And I've had just the most extraordinary meditations and expansive, peaceful experiences here at this beautiful place. 360 degrees, horizon to horizon, there are very few signs of human life. Mountains in the distance. Just this morning, there was a dusting of snow on the mountains. So incredibly beautiful. And the example I want to give you is that somehow, months ago, I knew that I was coming here. So I forgot to actually ask Ruth if I could come. But somehow it's like, oh, that's going to happen. And I forgot about it because I was so busy. And then a couple or so weeks ago, Ruth emailed me and said, you know, we happen to have this cancellation. We've been full for weeks and months, and this cancellation of renters happened just this one week. And if you have the opportunity to come, we'd love to have you. So the divine hand, the invisible hand, was orchestrating this all along. And that's the kind of divine synchronicity I've been experiencing. And I know you know what I'm talking about. If you're on this call, I'm sure you've had many experiences like that. And what I'm telling you is that I'm having them every day, every week. It's just spirit meeting me more than halfway, and that's how it works. Is when, you know, when we put our spiritual path first, when we put love first, when we put service to others first, we really get met more than halfway by spirit, and. That's when amazing things start to happen. Anyway, I could go on. There's so many more examples, but I won't take up our time with that right now. I just know that many of you have contacted me. Many people are going through things like this right now. There's there's one a friend of ours, a person who was a student of Leslie's a couple of decades ago in South Africa. Carol is her name. And she started skywalking, and lo and behold, she's at our house in South Africa now, surrounding Leslie with love and support while I'm not there with several other people. And it just was one of those divine synchronicities that she just happened to be free at this time to come and be there. So anyway, I share this with you because it's such an important part of my life, and I haven't given you a personal update in a while, so I just wanted to share that. And before we begin, I also wanted to just let you know of a few upcoming events. In Santa Fe, Friday and Saturday, October 11th and 12th, I'll be leading Alchemy of the Heart, Uniting the Divine Feminine and Masculine Within. Also, the same event in Albany, New York, Friday and Saturday, October 25th and 26th. I would love to see you there. If you have the capacity to join me, please do. I've been offering this event in other cities, the Bay Area and Portland, Oregon, and it's been profound. Spirit really wants all of us working on uniting the divine feminine and masculine within now. I know most of you know this, but it's been profound to gather as a group and process this and talk about it. Also, on Friday through Sunday, October 18th through 20th, we're having our virtual all-student conference. So if you've ever been enrolled in Spiritual Warrior or teacher training or Enhanced Self-Discovery, or if you're a graduate, you are invited. Please join us. It's a very, very powerful experience whenever we have these reunions, these virtual reunions of our community. And especially nowadays, it's so important to be gathering in community. And I would just love to have you join me. If you are feeling, if you like these kinds of calls that we do once a month, we'll be doing more of this kind of thing as well as processing. Barbara will be offering squares processing each day. And the topic I forgot to mention is opening the heart permanently. riding the waves of change. So it's a great time to be talking about this. In fact, we're going to touch on it today. These waves of change that we're going through on the planet are so extreme, as I know you know, and the acceleration is so extreme, the quickening, as people call it. It's just so intense that really what we're being asked to do is meet it all with love as much as we possibly can. And that's the path of love. It's the path of keeping the heart open permanently. So we'll be diving into all the details of that and processing that at the All Student Conference. Again, October 18th through 20th, you can join from anywhere in the world. Lastly, we have some sacred site pilgrimages we're planning for 2020. There are still spaces available for the South Africa retreat in March 5th through 19th. And also in the UK, we're leading a sacred site retreat. I'm co-leading with some friends of mine, May 9th through 22nd. And then we're also planning a trip to Greece in October, which hasn't been announced yet. So I'd love to see you any of those places, too, if you feel called. Let's see. So Leslie, as you know, is in South Africa, and she is sitting with us as we speak concurrently. She is sending a Shakti transmission. And I asked her yesterday when I talked to her if she had a message for everybody. And I'm going to read it to you. In these turbulent times, when we feel the most pushed down, we need to open our hearts to love and not turn it away. It all comes back to love. There is nothing else. Humanity needs to grasp this clearly for a new global awakening. Everything returns to love, regardless of what it looks like in the third dimension. I love you. So that's our message from Leslie for the day, for the month. She actually gave that message to a group of Brazilians. There's a woman, a student of Leslie's in Brazil, who wrote a play about Leslie's life and teachings, and it was being performed in the past few weeks in São Paulo. And Leslie actually wrote that message for that group recently, and that was the message she wanted me to share with you all as well. That message was read to the audience one night after the play. So as most of you know, but I suppose if you're new, you might not know this, Leslie remains in silence during these calls, and she sends her transmission of healing energy and light and love from our beautiful home in South Africa, which is at the bottom end of the Nilotic Meridian. It's a power point, and it lines up longitudinally exactly with the Nile River in Egypt, as well as the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx. So we invite you to be meditative throughout the call and to receive transmission. And this applies whether you're with us live today or you're listening to the recording later. It really doesn't matter, because we're all part of a field and we're all connected. And in that field, time and space don't really exist. So we invite you to tune into these other levels of reality beyond time and space, where we're all connected in the unity and in love. So we'll all be receiving this transmission of light that comes through during the call. There'll be a lot of speaking, a lot of words. And the truth is, you know, while the words can also be important, the most important thing is the transmission, because we all get a download. And it takes time to download and, you know, put into our mental understanding what the download is all about. But this is the most important thing. So this field we're all participating in and generating together, whether you're with us live right now or whether you are listening later. So I invite you all to close your eyes and get quiet while we do a guided meditation. And I know most of you are multitasking. I know how that goes. But this would be a great time, if you're capable of it, to pause just for a few minutes and give yourself a gift of some deep relaxation. The only exception is if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. So please take some long, deep breaths. Breathe in the light and breathe out any tension you might be feeling in your body. Breathe in the present moment and breathe out any worries about past or future. There's nothing to do and nowhere to go except to be here right now. In the present moment. So let's just continue our breathing long, slow, and deep, which activates the vagus nerve, which runs down the length of the body from the brain stem all the way down the spine and has tentacles reaching out to all different parts of the body. And when we do this long, slow, deep breathing, that nerve gets activated and helps us to relax. We feel a little tingly sensation inside and we start to let go. So just breathe and let go. Some people say that enlightenment is just a very deep relaxation. And we forget that sometimes. We forget how important relaxation is because we're so stressed in our world most of the time. So this is, take relaxation seriously and give that to yourself right now. Just give yourself the gift of complete letting go, complete surrender. And I invite you to relax all your muscles from head to toes, and you can visualize a warm, viscous liquid like honey pouring over the top of your head, relaxing all the muscles it touches, relaxing the scalp and the face, the eyes, nose, cheeks, ears, the jaw. Take a moment to focus on the back of the tongue and relax the back of the tongue, which relaxes a whole region of the body, the back of the head and the neck and the shoulders. Breathing light into these places and really deeply letting go with the exhale. Relaxing the neck and the shoulders, the arms from top to fingertips, and the torso, from shoulders to hips, and the pelvis, especially the psoas muscles, which run down the front of the hips on either side of the body. Focus for a moment on the psoas muscles, because that also releases a whole region of tension in the body. Just let go there. Breathe the light into that area and let go. Relaxing the legs from the hips all the way down to the toes. Completely letting go. And now I'll be quiet for a moment and you can scan your body again from head to toes and fingertips. Just letting go of any place that might still be holding on to tension. Just allow yourself to go completely yin, completely receptive, allowing this beautiful transmission of light to enter your body. And now I invite you to put your attention on the root chakra which is at the base of the spine, between the anus and the genitals. And notice how when you put your attention there, that area relaxes, that part of the body relaxes. And the root chakra naturally opens. If you're sensitive to energy, you can feel this. And if not, that's okay. You'll feel it one day if you practice. And let's drop our grounding cords from the root chakra down into the center of the earth. Wrapping your grounding cord around the core of the earth. And commingling your own energy with earth's energy. And feel how supported we are by Mother Earth beneath us. Feel your body where it touches the earth, whether it's the couch, chair, the floor. Just be with that for a moment. Be with that feeling of where you connect with earth. And allow gravity to pull you towards her gently. And feel Mother Earth beneath you, holding you up and cradling you like a little baby. And I invite you to just let go and relax into the arms of Mother Earth, our beloved mother, who gives us so much that we often don't even realize or think about. Just surrender into her arms, completely relaxing and feeling very grounded and balanced and anchored. Oh, just enjoy this for a moment or two. And then when you're ready, draw the earth energy up through your feet, up into your body, all the way up your legs, up to your pelvis. And let's run the energy up the core of the body, the Sushumna, as it's called in Sanskrit. Bring the energy right up past the navel chakra, past the solar plexus chakra, healing and balancing each chakra as we move past, up to the heart chakra and the throat chakra and the third eye, the point between the eyebrows. And the crown, which sits on the top of our heads like a crown. And it's okay if you don't feel the chakras. If you're new to this and you're not feeling them, that's okay. You can set the intention that you would like to feel them one day, and you will. So let's focus on the crown for a moment. Feel it and visualize it sitting on your head like a crown that a king or a queen would wear. And see it and feel it like a thousand-petaled lotus on the top of your head, unfolding petal by petal, opening up and up and up. As you do this, feel the expansion. It opens up and outward like a cone or a funnel on the top of your head. And now feel and see the golden white light of the celestial realms raining down from above, filling you up. This is the energy coming from Father Sky, It's a beautiful divine energy, warm, healing, loving, etheric. Let it fill you up completely. Let it fill up your crown, your aura, your physical body, from head to toes. Visualize each cell of your body like a miniature sponge, trillions of little sponges soaking up the light, filling you up, saturating your body, filling you up so much that it fills up your arms and your hands and your fingers, and the light starts to shoot out your fingertips. Filling up your legs and your feet and your toes so much that the light shoots out the tips of your toes. And just relax and let go into the saturation of divine light. Beautiful, loving, healing energy filling you up. While you fill up, I'm going to say a prayer and an invocation for our call today. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We call on all the angels and archangels and the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, all the lineage masters, and all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. And now silently, I invite you to each call in your own guides and teachers who you know support you, your favorite gods and goddesses and beings. Invite them into this call. And we ask that all of you surround us in the highest love and support possible. Wrap us up in a cocoon of golden white light. Help us to soak it up during this call so that we can be healed and whole and blessed in every way, and so that we can go out into the world and share the light and the love with others, helping to make this world a better place, a kinder place, a place with sustainable practices, a place that honors beauty and love above all, and truth. And we give thanks. We give thanks for the blessings we receive and for the opportunity to be here together today in these beautiful bodies that we inhabit for a few short years on this beautiful, beautiful, fragile blue planet. We're so deeply grateful for this experience and for the opportunity to share our love today. Thank you. Aho. And when you feel ready, I invite you to slowly bring your energy back into the room and into your body. And you're welcome to remain in meditation throughout the call. But if you feel like slowly wiggling your fingers and toes and opening your eyes so that you can multitask again, this is the time to do that. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Spiritual Weather Report call. And wow, what a month or so. It's been incredibly intense. I'm sure most of you are feeling it. And I was tuning in on what to share today. And I guess there's so many things that we could talk about. But the one of the things that I wanted to talk about was an experience that I've had the past month or so, I've been, excuse me, I've been talking to my friends in Brazil about the rainforest. And I don't know if you're new, you may not know this, but Leslie and I have worked in Brazil for many years, and our books and Leslie's audios have been translated into Portuguese, and we've spent quite a bit of time there. And so we've traveled to the rainforest, and we've taught in some of the towns out there in the rainforest, and we've traveled to meet some of the Native American peoples and some of the others who live out there. And the rainforest is very dear to our hearts. We really took it in very deeply when we were there, especially Leslie. She really loves the rainforest. And so I was talking with our friends and asking, you know, is it true what they're saying on the news reports? Because as most of you know, we can't really trust everything that the media is telling us nowadays. Some of it's true and some of it's important, and most of it is meant to instill fear and separation. So we have to be careful about what we take in. And so I wanted to get a firsthand report. And one of my friends who had just been there the week prior to my talking to her, she said it's absolutely true. She's been traveling there for so many years, and she said she's absolutely never, ever seen it like that, that there was so much fire that there was just smoke in the air everywhere. And I know many of us on the call are from California, Oregon area, and most of the previous many, many summers we've been experiencing those fires and the poor air quality and the devastation of nature and the traumatic events that happen when fire rages through an area. So my friends were telling me that, yes, it is, it's on the increase. Yes, there are always fires there, but yes, it is increasing, and it is not good what's happening there. So I really let myself feel that. I took that in and just let myself grieve. And I know, you know, so many of us felt the alarm around the fires because the rainforests of South America are the lungs of the earth. And I know we all know this, that, you know, to be able to support human life and other species' life and plant life, we have to have oxygen. So the fact that the rainforests are disappearing at such an alarming rate, I forget how many football fields per minute are disappearing there due to the fires, due to human encroachment and raising cattle and soybeans and what have you, and using the lumber and so forth. So I guess I wanted to just check in with you during the Q&A. I'd love you to share. I wonder, how have you all been coping in the face of news like this? How are you doing with witnessing? And if you're new to Core Light, we can talk later about witnessing, but essentially witnessing is what we would call the neutral observer, the part of us that knows we are not our emotions, that watches without judgment, that is like the fulcrum of the teeter-totter, the midpoint of the pendulum that doesn't move, and remembers who we truly are, and feels, it's the perceiver who feels the emotions passing through, and yet knows that we are not the emotions. So it's not about numbing out or denying, it's about feeling, but also about recognizing that a certain amount of detachment is required because we are not our emotions. So I'm just wondering how you've been doing with that. And not just that, but in the face of the daily news that we get about all the degradations that are happening on planet Earth right now, and not just the environment, but human rights and justice and so on. You know, all of these things are so deeply concerning to all of us, and rightly so. and bewildering also. Why is this happening? We wonder, what is this all about? What do we do? How can we make a difference? I know that all of us of conscience, people who are on the path of love and truth and consciousness, we feel these things. And so I guess, the message that I come to around all of this, as I witness all of this, most importantly, is not to lose heart and not to lose hope and not to give in to the feelings of despair, because the truth is that we were actually made for these times. We incarnated for these times. Our souls came into these bodies for these times. We knew what we were getting into when we incarnated. And because we are a soul group of intrepid warriors, courageous souls, we knew we could do this. All of us in this soul group, and I would, I don't know for sure, but my guess is if you're on this call, you're listening to the recording, you're part of this soul group. We're the ones who are committed to spirit. We are the ones who are committed to our own awakening, to love and to compassion and to serving the earth and serving people and serving animals and so on. My feeling, my strong feeling and belief is that we are going to thrive in these times. As things get more and more accelerated and more intense, which, they're happening daily, it seems, we're going to be the ones to create the stability and to reach out a hand to other people and help them. And I feel like, it's really important to remember that if we're getting sucked into the despair, that we need to remember that we were made for this. And also that we're not alone. There are millions of us, millions and millions of people like us who are dedicated to helping make this world a beautiful place, a more beautiful place. It only takes a little tiny group of people with a negative agenda to cause a lot of problems. And my strong belief is that that's what's happening here. The vast, vast majority of people on the planet want love, want peace, want sustainable practices, want beauty. They don't want all the rest of the nonsense that's going on. So it's as though there's a small group doing the stirring, and they're really doing a great job. We may not know who they are. We may think we do, but we're not. Nobody's for sure. Nobody's certain. I don't think anybody really knows exactly what's going on the planet, even though the media might tell us what they want us to know. Excuse me, what they want us to believe. So, anyway, what I love, there's a quote by Gandhi which I love. He said, "When I despair," I wrote it down, so I'm just going to read it to you. "When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they can seem invincible. But in the end, they always fall." Think of it, always. I don't know, that always makes me choked up when I read that quote, because we know it's true. And we're not in any different time right now. So things will change. I do feel, like so many other seers that I know, that it's going to take some time, but that it's coming. And, it's not going to happen overnight. It's probably going to get worse. In fact, it's very likely to get worse before it gets better. But I feel like it's so important not to focus on what's wrong, and rather to focus on all the things we know to do, the performing little acts of daily kindnesses and love with everybody you can possibly do them with each day, focusing on all the things you know for your own spiritual awakening, focusing on building the new paradigm of the heart rather than focusing on what's wrong with the old one and trying to tear it down because it is falling apart on its own, as I seem to point out every month when we talk. Oh gosh, forgive me if some of this is repetition, but it just seems like it's so important for us. There is one kind of new thing that I thought I should bring up this month, and it's about grieving. If many of you have read Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's book from decades ago called On Death and Dying, and in it she talks about the five stages of grief. And at the events that I just led in Reno, we were talking about this, and we were talking about how, as a collective, we're in the five stages of grief. And just to recap them, I'm sure most of you know them, but the first stage is denial. And, of course, we have so many people on the planet who are in denial about what's happening, you know, the environmental changes, climate change, all the other things going on. The second stage is anger, and there are many people, including many of us on the call, who are angry or who have expressed anger many times at the injustices, at the unfairness, at the destruction. And it's rightly so. You know, we need to feel that and get it out. We need to express it and witness it, you know, remembering that it's not who we are, but that we can't stuff it. We can't pretend that we're just spiritual and we're not going to feel anger. That doesn't work, as we know. Letting all that unconscious stuff out. So anger being the second stage of grief. And the third stage is bargaining. How many people listening to this have bargained, you know? Wow, if I could just have the right job, if I could just have this much money, if I could just be this kind of person or whatever, then I will be able to make a difference in the world. Then I'll be able to help other people. Then I'll intensify my spiritual journey, you know, those kinds of things. And I'm sure if we're honest with each other that we've all been through that. The fourth stage is depression. And I meet so many people who are in that right now. And, you know, we all feel it from time to time. It doesn't matter how awake you are. We feel depressed from time to time because of what we see happening in the world. And it's important to feel. We have to allow the feeling. It's part of grief. We have to give the heart its due. And if we feel depressed, if we feel, you know, all these different aspects of grief, we have to let them out and let them pass through, not to wallow in them, not to hang on to them and, you know, join the victim club and commiserate with each other all the time. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about giving the heart its due, feeling what it needs to feel, and then letting it go and moving on. And the good news about the depression is that it's the fourth stage of five stages, and the fifth stage is acceptance. And so when we come to that final stage of grief and accept what's actually going on, we can truly grieve and let go. And I feel like as a collective, that's really the path we're all on right now, because we look at the loss and the destruction and the chaos that's going on Earth right now. And we're grieving. We're grieving the loss of the earth that we knew. We're grieving the loss of the us that we knew. We were different people years ago. And we're grieving the loss of that. We're grieving the loss of the way life used to be. So it's important that we allow this grieving to take place, that we witness it, that we name it. You know, we name these emotions, we name these stages. So I invite you to do an exercise for homework for the next month and practice more than ever witnessing and asking yourself, where are you? where are you on this scale at any given moment? It's not necessarily linear. You know, you might jump from acceptance to denial. You might go back to the beginning, you know, or go from depression to anger again or whatever. But it's important to spend some time witnessing this and journaling about it and giving yourself the time and the space to feel what you need to feel, giving your heart its due, allowing your feelings to come up, and again, witnessing them, remembering they're not real, they're not who you are. You are the pure awareness. You are the perceiver through which these things pass, and they will pass. And reminding yourself of that, that these too shall pass. Otherwise, if we're not doing this, we tend to buy into the victim consciousness around it all. And this is the path that we're all walking. Every single human on earth is being invited to transcend victim consciousness right now. It's the number one process for the collective all over the earth. It's happening in our individual lives, and it's happening collectively big time, as never before. And again, we knew what we were getting into as souls when we incarnated. We planned this, and we know that we're strong. We know that we're courageous. We know we can get through it. We know we can help birth a new paradigm of love. So I guess to kind of conclude on this, I feel like one of the important things we can all focus on is to adjust our thinking around this and to adjust our way of being so that we can cope with the massive changes, the acceleration, the challenges that we're all facing, including the rainforest and all the other, disasters that seem to be befalling humanity and the earth from time to time at an ever-increasing rate. And I feel like what comes to mind is to think more like a long-distance runner. You know, how can we pace ourselves to go the distance? How can we learn to coexist between these two worlds? The world of higher consciousness, which is where we all like to be, peace, you know, harmony, balance, love, compassion, gratitude, generosity, all the heart states. And the opposite is the destructive cycle that we're in, the chaos, the violence, the dark agendas that are playing out, you know, all these things that we're hearing about on the media. We're straddling these two worlds, and we're the ones that are doing it. You know, most people, I won't say most people, I'd say many people, this is where they're struggling. This is where many struggle because they're caught in the one. And sometimes people are caught in the other too. They tend to practice what we call spiritual bypassing, where, you know, we go into the higher states of spiritual consciousness and pretend, you know, that we're above it all and we're just not going to feel it or we're going to ignore it. And, you know, I'm not talking about being an ostrich and sticking our heads in the sand. That's not what this is about. But it's about seeing these two worlds that coexist side by side and looking at how do we navigate this path? How do we coexist? How do we make this work for the long run? Because we're in this for a while. This is not going to end overnight. You know, like I said, it's most likely to get worse before it gets better. So I feel like this is another part of our discussion today, and maybe what we can all be doing for homework is looking at how do we pace ourselves, like the long-distance runner. And like we talked about last time and actually on other calls, we talked about self-care. Self-care being vital to our being able to continue at this pace that we're going, you know, where we track the news, where we, do our activism in whatever form it looks like, where we do our spiritual practices and where we go out into the world and do our work in the world to earn money or to, do whatever it is that we came here for. So all these things are part of the self-care, recognizing if we've been traumatized and we get drained by watching too much news, then we have to take a break from it. You know, we have to take in only as much as we know we can and then stop. Or, you know, or we find another news source, if there's one source that is seeming to poison you, you know, and you just come away drained all the time, then avoid that news source. Go to a different one. There are plenty out there, many more reliable than others. So be very careful about that, about how much news you take in and how traumatized you get by it. And, you know, don't subject yourself to that kind of voltage. It's just not going to serve. So we do what we need to do, whatever it is, to take care of ourselves and stay in the highest vibration possible. And, you know, recognizing that our nervous system has its limits and making sure we're not overwhelmed, pacing ourselves, learning about our own body and our own mind and our own spirit, learning when we need to rest, when we need to extend ourselves for others, when we need to go out and do some kind of activism for the earth or support the earth in some way, when we need to volunteer, whatever it is. Balancing those two things are our path right now. Balancing between those outreaches and self-care, I would say. So, grieving when we need to, resting when we need to, taking action when we need to, and as this quickening that we're all experiencing exacerbates the grieving process, and as the intensity of the acceleration continues, you know, more than ever, we've got to focus on this. And I want to end, before we open up to sharing and questions, I want to end with a little story. Forgive me if you've heard this, but it's a great reminder if you have. A friend of mine, Carolyn Baker, who's an author, writes a lot about grieving and teaches about grieving. And there's an African grieving ritual. She tells a story in one of her books about she attended one of these African grieving rituals. And in the African grieving ritual, you know, it's usually when somebody dies and everybody's moaning and wailing and letting their grief out. And it's all in a container that's safe and acceptable. And then when you feel, if you feel complete, then you can also experience celebration of the person's life, and you dance and you sing and you party. And there was one woman at one of these things, this African woman, who was so radiant with light and so extremely joyful. And Carolyn asked her, when, you know, so many people were grieving, she said, you know, how is it that, and she knew this woman, I guess she'd been to other rituals with this woman, and she said, how is it that you are always so joyful? And the woman said, I feel that I can be that joyful because I've grieved so much. And this is the truth of our existence. This is how it works. Like Leslie always said to us, you know, you can only go as high as you're willing to go low. And as we all know, the world, this destructive cycle we're in, is sinking pretty darn low. So we all have this opportunity. We're being given a gift. We're being given a gift and an opportunity right now to allow ourselves to be immersed in what is actually happening here, the destruction, the chaos, all the things we've been talking about, feeling it, allowing the grief, allowing it to pass through, and then coming out the other side into the joy, into the love. And that's how it works. You know, I think we're so often afraid of going down into the grief and into the negative emotions because we think we'll get stuck there. And our culture teaches us not to go there. our culture teaches us to avoid it at all costs. And if you are in it, you're a downer and everybody avoids you and you become a pariah. So we're on a different path than that. We create the safe spaces and the containers to be able to feel our grief and to be able to witness what our heart wants to feel. And then letting it go and allowing ourselves to move into the joy. And I've been having those experiences lately so frequently. These meditations I was telling you about at the beginning of the call, I'm here at this beautiful place in Mono Lake, California. And the other day I meditated for 3 hours and I didn't even realize that I came out of the meditation ecstatic, feeling so enthusiastic and inspired about, you know, the work of spreading the light and spreading love, and, you know, that all of us on this path were made for these times. We came in for these times. We came in to do this, and it is exciting, and people are going to need our help. So that's my invitation to everybody right now, is to do both, you know, to allow it all. And whenever possible, when you get those glimpses of the joy and when you get the opportunity to live in love, just allow it and revel in it. Don't feel guilty about the fact that terrible things are happening on Earth. And, you know, gosh, what does that mean? If I'm feeling so good, and am I doing spiritual bypassing? Am I ignoring? Am I doing something bad and wrong, you know, because there are other people and places on Earth that are suffering? No. What, like we talked about last month, what will actually make the difference, what will create the tipping point on the planet, is when enough of us can meet these negative instances with love and keep the heart open during the challenges. That's what transmutes that energy, and that's what will create the new paradigm of the heart. So this is the path. Okay, I've spoken a lot. It's been an hour, so I'm going to wrap it up now, and I'd love to hear from you. Barbara, would you like to share anything? Is there anything you want to talk about?
Oh, Brad, that was just so wonderful. I'm still reveling in it, as I'm sure everyone on the call is. You know, there's just a couple of quick little pieces that I'd love to bring into the group. And one is that I shared this with you the other day, and it just keeps coming up for me. The very first time that I sat with Leslie was in April of 1998. And there was someone in the group at that time who had just lost their husband the month before. And the very first teaching that I was exposed to was keeping the heart open in the greatest and most profound loss. And I can remember as a new student wondering, how is that possible, to be able to keep the heart open? And as I sat, you know, the reality came that, you know, there is no other alternative. If we shut down, we close off, we plunge into this depth of despair. And I'll read what someone just wrote, because it's very synchronistic with what we're talking about. And this is somebody that is new, actually, to Core Light, Lynn, and she wrote first, "Synchronicities Abound. I just ordered two of your books today and Leslie's guided meditation tape, The Art of Gazing, from 2001. I believe, which arrived yesterday, would you believe?" And then she puts in parentheses, "Yes, you would." my wonderful friend Elizabeth Wood introduced me to you, and I'm a New Yorker living in Rancho Mirage, California. Thanks both Leslie and Brad for your lovely friendship and sharing. And then she wrote, actually to respond to your question, Brad, I feel strength and hopeful in my heart. And my heart is full of love. My husband and life partner, Jeffrey, is helping me in spirit and has given me the gift of joy instead of sadness and grief. It's an awesome miracle of a gift, and I am so grateful he is helping my soul lead me. And I just find that so synchronistic with the first teaching that I received from Leslie. And, you know, this is what we're each being asked to do on this journey, is to keep our hearts open. And the other piece that I would love to share, and I know we've talked about this ad infinitum, but it's getting to spend some time in nature. And I know, Brad, you were sharing about Mono Lake, and it sounds exquisite. And I actually went, I think it's 2 weeks ago now, to Mount Lassen, which is east of Redding, where I live in Northern California. And it's still an active volcano. And I had this sense of Redding is down in the valley. It's very hot in the summer. And I had this sense as I was traveling in this car up this mountain that all of the minutiae that we deal with on a day-to-day basis down in the valley was being left behind. It was as if I was being stripped bare of any and all obstacles. And the higher I went up into this mountain, the lighter and clearer I became. And there were these exquisite lakes around the mountain, Emerald Lake and Lake Helen, that were just exquisitely beautiful. And, you know, we forget in our day-to-day overwhelm in these tremendously chaotic times to have a higher perspective. So I know that I and all of us on the call are so grateful, Brad, to be having this conversation. There's nothing more wonderful than being in community and sharing our love with each other. So thank you for that.
Beautiful, Barbara. Thank you for sharing. Wow. Yeah, being in nature is so important, isn't it?
It really and truly is. It really can rejuvenate us in ways. And we don't have to be, you know, out there for days or weeks. I went for an afternoon, and it was so rejuvenating. The trees were calling to me and were speaking and saying, come, sit, be still.
Yes. I had a similar experience. I was in Florida on this trip for a little while, and I was so busy working that I didn't really have time to enjoy nature. And I was mm-hmm. right there with the beautiful beaches and white mm-hmm. sand and palm trees. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to take an afternoon, and I'm just going to go and be in nature. And what I found was it didn't take long. It only took a few hours. And the sense I got was that there's something magic that's happening for us, where time expands. And I felt like, after that, I swear to God, I woke up the next morning feeling like I had had a whole week of vacation.
Yes, exactly.
You know? Did you feel
exactly.
Is that how you felt?
Exactly. For days, Brad. For
yeah,
days. And
yeah.
It really is still with me 2 weeks later.
The
mountain is within me, and I am within the mountain. So, yes,
beautiful.
I highly encourage each of us to get that rejuvenation.
Indeed.
So I'm imagining you want me to let people know who would like to share. If you
please.
Want to share, please press star 2, and that will raise your hand, and we can then call on you. We'd love to hear how each of you are doing. Okay, so there is a hand raised, Brad, and it is Kim. K Kim, you have the mic.
Thank you. Hi. It's good
Kim.
To be with everybody again. Hi.
Hi, Kim.
I just wanted to, pardon me?
I said, hi, Kim.
Hi, Brad. I just wanted to share with everybody that back in the early 80s, I was able to go to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's conference, and she spoke. And it was such great timing for me because I had, my mom had committed suicide and my dad had died 6 weeks later. And since then, I've had six more siblings die. So I've had a lot of grief. I've had the opportunity to have a lot of grief in my life. And what I found incredibly helpful was we don't have the same practice in America that they do in Africa about letting yourself moan. But what I learned to do over the years is give myself an hour every morning to feel whatever I was feeling and then really taking the time out to grieve. So I just wanted to share that with people because I think that was so helpful. And working as a hospice nurse, I also shared that with my patients and clients. And that's all I wanted to say. Anyway.
Beautiful, Kim. That's so beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And I'm sorry anyway. For your losses. I'm sorry for your losses. And it sounds to me like you have risen to the challenge and used them, used the loss as a gift and an opportunity for you to discover more about yourself and to ascend in consciousness, which is
yeah.
what it's all about.
Yeah, it's like letting your heart break and then it breaks wide open.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Well, thank
okay.
you for sharing,
well,
Kim.
Yep, you bet. Blessings
yes.
to everybody.
Yes, Kim, and I
want
to say, too, I love that you, first thing in the morning, give yourself permission to feel whatever it is that you're feeling, because so many times we have those little voices in our head that tell us what we can and can't feel, what's okay and what's not okay, and to just let those feelings arise and
right.
let your heart break. So beautiful, Kim. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, again, to remind you all, it is star 2 to raise your hand if there's something that you might like to share or say or ask. I don't see anything more on the web right now, just checking. And let's see. Okay, here's a phone, a hand. This is from Kingston, Ontario. I'm sorry, I don't have your name. So whoever just raised your hand.
That's okay, it's Elaine.
Hi, Elaine. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you both. Brad, the things you spoke of just now are all the things that I've been thinking about for the last few days.
And, oh, my gosh. It's in the air.
Yeah. It's lots of grief for the planet, lots of grief in people. Trying to think about, you know, my place and my role in all of this. The synchronicities are really quite astounding, but not. And I wanted to share, you know, both of you spoke about being in nature and being with the trees, and you probably know Maria Popova's Brain Pickings. And the poem she sent this morning is a Mary Oliver poem called When I Am Among the Trees. I would just read it.
Oh, yes.
I was just going to say, would you please read it to us?
It's very beautiful. it's Mary Oliver, When I Am Among the Trees. When I am among the trees, especially the willows, and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines. They give us such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I'm so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches, and they call again. "It's simple," they say, "and you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine."
Beautiful.
It's just, it's
you,
so
Elaine.
Exquisite. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the Brain Pickings website, she actually has a friend of hers reading it, and it's very beautiful.
Ah, sweet. Well, Mary Oliver's got to be one of my favorite poets.
Yes. Well, thank you both.
Wow.
Thank you,
thank
Elaine.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for reading that. It brought tears to my eyes.
It's so exquisite. Yeah.
It's so exquisite.
Yeah.
Beautiful, Elaine. Thank you.
Thank you.
The trees are such a gift to all of us. It's okay to be a tree hugger.
Not just okay, it's encouraged. Highly encouraged.
It's encouraged. There you go. So the next hand we have raised is Linda. Linda, you have the mic.
Thank you. I'm sitting in my bedroom at home in Oregon, and I am surrounded by trees. I live in the middle of 10 acres. It's mostly forest. And they do renew and refresh and keep me balanced. It was wonderful to hear too about the your time in Mount Lassen, Barbara, because that was where one of the places that we had vacations when I was a teenager. And in my 50s, I made a solitary trip up there one weekend while I was waiting for a car to get fixed that had broken down. And had just a magical weekend just on a hike by myself. And figured out a way to try to put my trail mix up, hang it from a tree in case of bears and so on and so forth. and had communication with and the moon while I was out there. And really a very, very profound experience. I haven't thought about that in years, but it was quite life-changing. And I'm nearing the end of a year of grieving the death of my daughter, Mara. She died on October 21st of last year. It was an overdose death, and I don't know whether it was a deliberate suicide or not, but she had just a whole... she'd been way down the depressive spiral for a long time. And of course, she wanted to be through with this lifetime. I understand that. But and I've done a lot of the grieving in a lot of the same ways that people have talked about on this call. And I have felt as though healing is really happening for me. But I'm also getting ready to do a trip to Europe with my brother and his wife, and I'm really working hard at trying to keep track of all of the details. I feel as though I've had some short-term memory problems in the last month to a year. And I've learned how to make myself lists and stuff and put a lot of energy into doing all of that sort of thing. And it's, I thought I was really doing well until my brother called me last night and said, "Linda, it's not Tuesday we're leaving, it's Wednesday." October 2nd is Wednesday.
Ah.
And just sock me. The whole last couple of weeks I've been thinking I was leaving on a Tuesday. And so I'm very grateful this call is happening this morning. I needed it very much to sort of anchor myself again and remember that it's not all life is to be lived in the moment for itself, not always referring to the past and trying to resolve or solve things that are leftovers from the past. And it's not all looking to the future to try to make sure you don't make disastrous mistakes in the future. It's being here now. I really want to be here now in this moment with the love that I can feel coming from all the Corlite community. And hear Brad's voice.
Oops, you're breaking up on us a little bit, Linda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm using my iPhone, and it does sometimes break up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's all.
Oh, that was so beautiful, Linda.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you for your heartfelt sharing. And I can feel as you approach the anniversary of your daughter's passing and you're grieving again, you're in a very heart-opened space, which is wonderful. You know, that's the best place you can be, is with your heart open and allowing it all to pass through you again and just let it go. So God bless you as you make that journey.
Thank you.
Yes, we're holding you, Linda.
Yeah, we all hold you in the light.
I can feel it. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
And we're
good.
All here now in this moment. Yeah. Have a wonderful trip, Linda.
The tingling.
Yes, the untangling. Good.
I feel like I'm touching you.
Yes, we're
thank
touching
you,
each other in the heart.
That's right.
We are.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I love you all so much.
Thank you, Linda.
We love you,
that's
too.
That's it for me. Thanks.
Okay, so the next hand raised, I'm wondering, it's on Skype, and I know I have Howard and Judy on Skype, so is this Howard and Judy, or someone else perhaps, who's calling in on Skype, who raised their hand?
Barbara?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I come through on Skype. I seem to. It's happened before, so I thought it might be me. I'm Lynn, and I'm the person who has never been on a call before with you.
Oh, hi, Lynn.
I know you
welcome.
Feel like you really know me now, right?
Yes.
Thanks for your sharing.
So,
yes.
Yeah, thank you both so much. I mean, this is... I mean, I've had, as I said, all these synchronicities over the last 3 years, especially since I lost Jeffrey in June of 2016, the 20th of June. And there have, as I said, synchronicities have just come flowing in and flowing out and doing what they do. But I just am so happy to actually be able to speak with you today, both of you, and with Leslie, thank you, because I think this is a really huge one. You know, I'm grateful for all of them, any size, in any way, but I think this is a particularly huge one. It seems to be that I really am, you know, meant to be on this call with you today. So I wanted to say thank you, and I guess some days more than others, I realize the immense miracle of how the joy has just replaced the grief in my life from the very beginning, from the first moments. I have been guided. The joy has just been given to me, this wonderful gift, and then I've been led to, you know, not one misleading, instruction. I don't know what you call it, guidance, to every just right teacher for me. Everything I've read, everything I go to, sometimes I don't linger on something particularly long. I, you know, go to something else. It's not that it's wrong. It's just not exactly right for me at the moment. But, you know, it's my experience, what's been given to me has been just huge. And it just continues. And I get stronger and stronger in it because it's just proven to me. I think, Brad, you were saying all these things are coming to you moment to moment. They just tumble in. You didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, day by day, just continuously, I find I'm getting stronger because of the continuity of it, that strengthens it, and that's what's happening. And you know, I just try to impart that to anyone who is open to listen to it, anyone that I can help. And I know that sometimes it doesn't seem as if anything is being helpful to someone, you know, in what I say and what I do. But that isn't what matters, because it really is being helpful in some way down the line. Something will open up for them. Someone else will, you know, come have them in their path and just help them along. And so you just have to keep doing what your heart tells you to do. It is all about the opening of the heart. And I even had a very, very strong lesson from my husband that was not an easy one. In the first week that he passed, and that was about not being able to hold anything dark. There was something that I was thinking, and some reaction that I had. And in that reaction, all of the love in my heart disappeared. And it scared me to death. It really was frightening. And I thought, how do I get the love back? I mean, it's just gone. And I didn't understand it. And I was really terrified. I was terrified. And then the gift came to me. I mean, this all happened so quickly, you know, within the course of, within 48 hours, because I was panicked and I prayed and I just wanted to understand what it was. And I was so terrified that the love wouldn't come back. And the answer was that I couldn't hold anything dark. Then the love was going to be taken away from me. It was a hard 48 hours. It was a hard lesson, but I don't know whether you two or anyone else on the call has had any experience like that. I've not heard of one. I'm sure there are those who have had it. But it, you know, I just knew what it was all about, because I needed so desperately to find the answer. I was so panicked. I was so terrified. And that's what it was. You know, that was a pretty awesome gift to be given to me so quickly, and a tough one. You know, you can't hold anything in darkness, and you can't have the light at the same time. The light is completely, it was completely taken away from me. It was a hard lesson. It was a good lesson. And I did feel like I was being punished. And anyway, that's it. So I know I help in sharing that. You know, if anyone has anything to explain to me about it, I'd be most happy to listen. But that's what happened to me, and that was all within 3 or 4 days of my husband passing.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Thank you, and thank you for sharing. How beautiful. And I think, you know, what you experienced was a great gift from your husband. He obviously, and the angels who surround him and you, you know, all together, you were being shown a gift about love and about keeping the heart open permanently. And that is the path that we're all walking. You know, we're all learning how to keep the heart open permanently. Ultimately, it's about living in unconditional love. And ultimately, it's about recognizing and living the fact that we are love, that we're made of love. Love is who we are. And so I feel like the lesson that you're sharing with all of us is profound, because you're talking about when you close the heart, that's the only way that you can get hurt. We're taught as children that, you know, to protect yourself, you have to close the heart. And when you close off, you know, you're somehow protected. And that is absolutely false. It's actually the opposite. We hurt ourselves when we close our heart. And so to learn that path of keeping the heart open all the time is the name of the game. It's what it's about for all of us. And I'm excited about this topic. It's my favorite topic of all, because you know, living with an open heart is what we came here to do. This is the topic of our all student conference coming up in a couple weeks. And so you tapped into a really important topic. So thank you for sharing, Lynn.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here and very thankful. Thank you both.
Thank you. And I'll say one last thing, and Barbara, you probably want to say something too, but one last thing, and that is that Leslie gave one of the most beautiful talks she's ever given of her whole 30 years on the audio called The Heart of the Matter. And that's an audio in the Spiritual Warrior course. If you're new to CoreLight and you want to learn this path, that's the course for you, Spiritual Warrior course. It's on our website. You can look at it. And her audio on The Heart of the Matter is really about this path. It's about keeping the heart open all the time. It's about living in unconditional love and discovering that we are love. And that's the ultimate, is that when we live in love, we live in an objectless state of love. We don't have to have a husband or a wife or a child to love because we are love. And when that husband or child or wife goes away, we still are love.
Yes.
So anyway, Barbara, I get the feeling you probably wanted to share something too.
Oh, yes. Thank you. And thank you so much, Lynn. You know, when you first started to share, I felt that your husband Jeffrey is your guardian angel. And Brad was just talking about, you know, the angels. And then I heard the song, "Keep Your Heart Open and Love Will Find the Way."
Yes.
Which is exactly what you're sharing with us. And I did a hospice training a few years ago, and one of the exercises at the end of the hospice training, for there were about 10 of us in the group, and we were handed out all these different little colored cards, and we were to write down, you know, the five items that we treasured most, the five roles that we felt we played, and just all kinds of things that were in our life. And the instructor came around and started pulling randomly these different aspects away from us as we were being diagnosed and told that we, didn't have long to live. And so, you know, at first I thought I was on top of things, and I thought, well, there's only a few things that I really treasure, so I'll just hold those back, and they can pick anything else that they want, thinking that, you know, my ego was trying to get ahead of the game. And then as things started being taken away, people were, you know, going into deep grief. One woman said, you can have everything I have, but, you know, don't take this one item. And then after we did the exercise, we went into meditation. And what I realized was that everything that I knew and loved was inside of me.
Yeah.
That there was no loss. And so that's what I'm hearing, that Jeffrey resides within you as you reside within him, and that all of us that have experienced loss, when we are still and we go within, everything is inside of us. So I thank you so much, Lynn, for sharing that and reminding us of the truth of that.
Oh, very welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So something more, Brad, you wanted to say, or Lynn, are you feeling complete?
Well, I'm feeling especially grateful today because it's like any gift. When you just take that word gift, I certainly had no inkling that that this would, you know, be all it is to me today. But I did have an inkling, as happens to me sometime, a few times. I just really, something was telling me, you have to get on this call, and it's going to be very special. And I just was telling myself, you know, well, that is, you know, that's a hopeful attitude, and that's a good way to speak. But it's much more than that, isn't it, for me and for hopefully others. It's really, this is just, as far as feeling complete, I could not feel more complete right now.
Very sweet. Like,
beautiful, Lynn.
Where I'm supposed to be. I wish I could manage to do this all the time. I guess that should be my intention, and it is my intention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Beautiful. Yes, Lynn.
Yeah. Oh, my. It's wonderful. Much appreciated, and as I said, like any gift, I couldn't have imagined that this is what was going to happen this morning. In fact, Elizabeth has her monthly call. I talk about synchronicity. I think you're both going to like it if you haven't heard it already. I don't know how aware you are of what other things are taking place. Elizabeth's monthly call is always, in all my experience, 9:00 in the morning Pacific time. Today, it's at 2:30, and I even wrote to her, or two, it's 2:00 today Pacific time, wrote to her yesterday, and I said, you have so much on your plate and all. Is that right? Is that, because I don't want to miss the 9 a.m., is it really 2? Because that's what I figured it out to be, Pacific time. She wrote back, yes, it's a different time. It's later on Sunday this month. So it's a monthly call, always at 9:00, and it's at 2:00 today, which I plan to be on, and I'm going to send her a message over to one of my long monologues that I send over to poor Elizabeth. I don't know why she thinks it was shifted. I'm sure that, you know, that's the reason, but there's also this reason, because I couldn't have been live on this call if I was live with her, could I?
There you go. There you go. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Oh, he's always,
yes, I feel him.
I'm at his desk in our study, in his study, really. I'm sitting at his desk. He would have a fit.
Oh.
It's really, as he would see, he's English, and he would say, "It's, you know, that room is a tip." And I say to him all the time, I know there's dust. I know there's things for me to do, but there's more important things that I'm doing, and the dust can wait.
Beautiful.
I know he's
Thank
not,
you
know, he just look at his desk
yeah.
and say, my desk,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and I didn't keep it that much more wonderful, actually, if the truth be known. But it is something I have to get to, but all the things I'm doing, all the conversations I'm having, all the reading
yeah.
I'm doing, all the listening I'm doing,
yeah.
is more important than taking everything off and, you know, I know I should be, you know, dusting and clearing, and I'll feel better once I do it, but I just haven't gotten to it just yet. Something about
All right. Well,
about,
thank you.
Lynn, thank you.
You
very much.
Thank you,
Lynn.
So
that was wonderful.
Thank you both.
So, Barbara, there was something else I was going to share, and it just went in my mind and out the other side.
It's going to come out. It's going to come. Well, you know, it was just so wonderful to share with Lynn in that way. And I feel like, you know, there's a big synchronicity or big circle here that we're all being asked, you know, to just pay attention to, that there is so much synchronicity. There has been so much synchronicity. And the more we're able to stay within this open heart, you know, the more, not, I think it's not necessarily that there are more synchronicities, but that we're much more present and in the moment to be able to acknowledge and honor them. So I hope I'm talking long enough, Brad, that it's giving you a chance to recall and remember what it was you wanted to share.
I remembered something I wanted to share with everybody. Thank you, Barbara.
Yeah.
This is an experience that I had probably almost 30 years ago when I learned to meditate. And I was sharing it the other day with a friend who I was talking to. She's got cancer. And we were talking about, you know, the body and the ephemeral nature of the body and of the earth, and how, you know, the seasons don't grieve when it's time for them to pass, and that we know we'll be coming back in other bodies again, and that we've been here many times in other bodies. And we were talking about the subject that we're all talking about today. We were talking about grieving, and especially around the loss of nature and the loss of the trees. We were talking about the rainforest and the loss of the trees. And the experience that I shared with her that I had 30 years ago was I was just learning to meditate, and I was being given such beautiful gifts in meditation. One of them was I became a tree. In meditation, I suddenly knew that I was a tree. And I was just practicing mindfulness meditation. I wasn't asking for that experience. It was a gift. And it wasn't an intellectual understanding. It was a visceral experience. And I knew that if I opened my eyes, I would see my branches and leaves. I would not see arms. And I could feel the bark on my trunk, and I could feel that I was a home to countless creatures, you know, burrowing in the bark, and the birds nesting in the branches. And I could feel the wind blowing through my leaves and rustling the leaves. And I felt my roots going down into the earth and strong, you know, having a strong grasp of the earth, feeling very grounded and rooted into the earth. And anyway, I could go on about it, but that was the experience, was being a tree. And specifically what that tree taught me when I became this tree. I was an oak tree, by the way. And what I saw, there were humans that were walking nearby in the experience. Not, I was in a room alone in reality, but in this other reality in the meditation, there were humans walking to and fro underneath me. And I remembered looking down at them and thinking, wow, these people haven't got a clue that I'm even alive, that I'm even here. They don't understand, do they? They're like little ants. They're so immersed in their own little world with their own thoughts, and they're completely preoccupied. They're living a myopic life, completely unaware of their connection to me and what I'm offering them. Because what the tree offers is love. The tree offers itself as a home to all the creatures. The tree offers Shakti, or energy, healing energy, to people and to the land. The tree is essentially an embodiment of unconditional love and giving. It's there in service. The tree is in service. And when I was talking with my friend about this experience, you know, she was grieving the loss of the rainforest and the loss of all the trees. And I said, you know, I have to just tell you about this experience, because when I was a tree, I didn't mind that one day I was going to probably be cut down or you know, fall over or whatever. It didn't matter to me. Because I was so much in the present moment and so much about giving love that that was what my life was about, and that one day it would come to an end. And it didn't matter, because there was so much presence and so much love that there was no grief at the loss of the life. So she was grieving the loss of nature, and, you know, I am too, and we all are. And yet there's this other level of reality that, you know, those trees came in at some level of their being knowing that they were going to be burned one day and that something new grows out of that. Nothing is ever a death. There's for every death, there's a rebirth. And even if the entire earth were destroyed, which it's not going to be, I don't believe it's going to be, but even if it were, it's like a volcano. After the volcano erupts and decimates the land, new life still springs up out of that hardened lava. That's I forget the name of it, but it's that black stuff that's hard and like concrete. Yeah. You'd think nothing could ever grow again, but it does. So anyway, I wanted to share this because it felt timely and important since we started our call talking about the trees and about grief and loss. And there was one other piece I wanted to share about it, if I can bring it back. Oh, it's gone. Hopefully it'll come back. Anyway, I know we're almost out of time, too.
We have a couple more hands. And can I just say, thank you for that sharing, Brad. And, you know, I think many of us have had an affinity for and with the trees. And there's a couple of things that came through while you were sharing. And I could feel that the trees are the extension of beloved Mother Earth's arms embracing us.
Yes. And you just reminded me. You just reminded me of what I was going to say.
Oh, good, Brad.
But don't let me interrupt you. If you want to complete what you're saying, go ahead.
Only other thing, and so don't forget what you're going to share. So now I'm going to forget. Oh, I know. So that, you know, it's all about the tree of life. And that we are the tree of life. That was the one piece. I won't get into all of that right now. But the other piece is that Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree. And there's something really significant about the Bodhi tree and sitting under the Bodhi tree and having all the fears rise as he sat under the Bodhi tree. And he, you know, acknowledged the fears and said they were not him. Mm-hmm. So there's more there. I know we don't have time because I see the hands are raised, but please share what you were going to share, Brad. There's something so significant for each of us about the trees.
Yes. It was an experience that I had with Leslie probably 25 years ago. We were starting to work in Portland, Oregon, and we were flying to Portland. And as we flew over the wilderness and the mountains, you could see the clear cutting below, looking out the plane window. And it was devastating. We were actually distraught about it. We looked out and saw it was like giant scabs on the earth is what it looked like. And we didn't realize, because when you're there on the ground driving along, you don't often see the clear cut, and you don't really realize what it's about. So Leslie had a long talk with the trees and with her guides. And one of the messages that she was given from the trees said that they've been on the earth for countless millennia, and one of their functions is to hold the Shoshumna for the earth. A tree trunk is like a Shoshumna, the Shoshumna being the core, the luminous core of light that is inside each of us. And so the trees literally hold a state of unity consciousness for the earth and for humanity. And they are a tremendous energetic support to all of us for that. And specifically what they said to her, which I found so interesting, was they said, we agreed to being cut down. We knew this was going to happen, and it's going to continue to happen. There are a lot more trees that are going to be cut down on Earth. And as the trees disappear, what's going to happen is humanity is going to be asked to step more into their own core. They're not going to be able to rely on the trees' support anymore. So, yes, it will be hard. It'll be a difficult time as more trees disappear. But the opportunity and the gift for humanity is that it's going to strengthen our own ability to hold our own core. And that's what it's about. So anyway, it just felt apropos. I felt like, as long as we're talking about the disappearance of trees, I should bring that part in from the perspective of the trees and the greater picture. The greater picture being that, a lot of what's happening is about our own spiritual evolution and about our strengthening our ability to ground on our own core and not to ground on the trees anymore, not even to ground on the earth anymore, but to ground on the core.
Wow.
So this was Leslie's message. So I wanted to share that today. Thank you.
Beautiful. And can feel Leslie so strongly as you're sharing, Brad. Can just feel her transmission so, so strongly. So we have a couple more hands, Brad. And so the next hand raised is Dale. Dale, you have the mic.
Hello, Dale from Salida, Colorado.
Hey, Dale.
We've met. Boulder.
I remember.
Yeah, cool. Let's see, a few weeks ago, I walked out of the house and there was this puff of smoke coming off. I live in a valley in the mountains, and there was this puff of smoke coming off this one mountain, and I said, I think that's a forest fire. Well, it turned out that it's called the Decker Fire, and it's up to about 2,000 acres, but it's, in some ways, it's about rejuvenation. I was worried that the fire would come down the mountain and get into our neighborhood, but went to the meeting by the Forest Service, and they said what had happened was there was a lightning strike in the wilderness on the other side of the mountain, due to the new rules, they were going to permit it to continue to burn because it's in the wilderness. If it's the only time they're allowed to keep the fire, let the fires burn and rejuvenate the area, is if it's a natural occurrence. And up in that area is I guess, hundreds of thousands of dead trees. I suspect weakened by the geoengineering, and then beetles move in and kill the trees. So probably three quarters of the trees on that mountain are dead. And last winter was the snowiest winter we've had in 100 years, I guess. So the whole area was prime for a controlled burn of the dead trees and all the dead underbrush. And they've got, they have, I don't know, 100 people in the area preparing to keep the fire from spreading out of the wilderness area. But it's a, it all needs to be cleared out now rather than we go through periods of drought and then wet. And it's better for the fire to happen during the wet season rather than in the dry season when it can rage out of control. So I've gone up and I've taken pictures of the fire and the smoke.
Wow.
What was really cool, just a couple of weeks ago, I went up there I watched a rainstorm come and a rain cloud with, you could see heavy rain coming down from it, head right to the fire.
Oh, wow.
And it wet down the fire a bit. It's still, the fire's still going, and it's moving slowly up in the dead trees, but it's in the process of like rejuvenating the whole area. So.
Wow.
Wowie.
Well, beautiful, Bill. That's wonderful to know. Thank you for sharing that. We'll hold that in our prayers.
Cool. What they said is the fire will be out once it snows. So it's probably going to go on for a couple more weeks before we get a nice snow to put it all out.
Beautiful. Yeah, I know about those dead pinon trees because in Santa Fe we had the bark beetles come through there and decimate most of our pinon pines. And it actually is a blessing to have a fire come and take care of that dead wood so in a wet season so it doesn't rage out of control in the dry season. So, you and that area are blessed.
Yes, and you reminded me that when I was up in Mount Lassen, the last time it erupted was 1915, and it was massive, and some of the rocks and things from the mountain got strewn like 250 miles away. It was that big and cataclysmic, and a lot of the growth, I think there was an area that was called, I can't remember, something like the devastation area. And it used to be that there was no foliage, no green, no anything. It was just totally sand. And now they say, you're wondering why we still call it the devastation area, because all of the green has come back in and filled in. So exactly what the two of you are sharing, Dale and Brad, about, the cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful. Thank you, Dale. Yes, prayers for that area.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Dale.
Oh, I just had one quick comment. If you could tell us the dates again that you said earlier.
Sure. Let me pull them up here. The dates for Alchemy of the Heart in Santa Fe, the Uniting Divine Feminine and Masculine Within Retreat Intensive, the dates for Santa Fe are Friday and Saturday, October 11th and 12th. The same event in Albany, Friday and Saturday, October 25th and 26th. And then the one that you're all invited to, it's a virtual conference. If you're in the Spiritual Warrior course or you're a graduate of any of our courses, Friday through Sunday, October 18th through 20th. And that's an important one. That's one where we really do a lot of, it's more intimate. So you'll have an opportunity to process with me and Barbara. And I really encourage all of you, if you're in Spiritual Warrior or if you're a graduate of any of our courses, that's a very powerful opportunity to take a quantum leap on your spiritual journey, that conference. We do it once a year. So this is the opportunity, October 18th through 20th. And the topic, again, is opening the heart permanently while riding the waves of change.
We'd love to see you all there.
Yeah. And then lastly, the South Africa retreat is March 5th through 19th next year, and the UK retreat is May 9th through 22nd next year. All of this is on our website, corelight.org, so any of you can go at any time to check those dates on the website. And Barbara, I'm seeing that we're out of time.
Yes. Sorry.
Are there any,
there's one hand left raised. So do you want to have a quick?
Yeah. So we're just going to have to be very brief. I apologize that we ran out of time, but if you could just say what you want to say and be as succinct as possible, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Well, it looks like it was Paula, and it looks like she put her hand down. So maybe she realizes we're on the hour here. So
okay.
Thank you, Paula. Sorry.
Well, Paula, please share next month. Actually, I have to correct myself. We're not meeting next month. We're not doing a spiritual weather report next month in October because of the all-student conference and all the other events. There's actually not a free weekend to do it. So we will have the next spiritual weather report is going to be on what day is it, Barbara? Do you have it handy?
Yeah,
it's
November. Have it, Brad. It's going to be the 24th of November. There will not be a Squares call either in October, just so you all know. So the next spiritual weather report is the 24th of November. And then did you change the one in December, Brad? I have.
The one in December is December 15th.
It's changed. It's the 15th. Okay.
December spiritual weather report is the 15th.
Okay.
And we'll be announcing the calls for the new year. So stay tuned for that. And lots more exciting things planned for next year, by the way. Stay tuned, and we're going to be offering a virtual course next year and some other exciting things. Okay, so let's just take, we're at the hour, so I don't want to take any more time, but let's take at least a minute or two to close, create our closing prayer. Barbara, was there any last thing that you wanted to share before we close?
No, just a great big thank you, Brad, to you and to Leslie and to everyone in the Core Light community. Just so deeply, deeply grateful to be with each and every one of you.
Well, thank you, Barbara. Thank you so much for all the love and support you give all the time. Deeply grateful to you for all you do.
Thank you, Brad.
Okay, so I invite you, this will literally just be a minute or two, so I invite you now to close your eyes and take some long deep breaths, and let's get very quiet. Just continue your long deep breathing and drop into the silence, drop into your core. Feel again your grounding cord connecting you to the earth. Feel your groundedness. And feel your connection to the celestial realms. And let's put our attention on the Shushumna, on the core of light that runs down the center of the body, right in front of the spine. And let's all hold that Shushumna together. There is not a bunch of separate Shushumnas in each of us. It actually is only one Shushumna that we all share. And that's not a metaphor, that's literal. So we literally are all one in the Shushumna. So I invite you now to put your attention on that core of light, core of enlightenment that's within you and within each of us. And let's hold that together. Everybody on this call live and everybody listening in the future, Since there is no time and space, you can join us now in this experience of becoming of one mind and one heart in the core. Despite the fact that we're separated by great distances, physical distances, and by time, we can be one in the core. And so feel that. And as we feel that, I offer a prayer to all the beings in the invisible realms who have supported us and who are supporting us today and always. And we offer our deep gratitude to you for all the love and support that you give. May we take this light that we've received and this love that we share out into the world to share with others and help make this world a more loving and more beautiful place where all life is honored and we live in the heart, which is our birthright, because we are love, we are made of love. And may we know this in this lifetime. That is our intention. And so it is. And we give great thanks, knowing this is so. Aho. So I send you all my love, everybody, and many blessings from me and Leslie and Barbara and the Core Life Mentors. Until next time, and we'll see you in November. Bye for now.